So, love is a notoriously difficult to define thing. When we're talking about love for other people, though, we can start by thinking about what we want and assume other people are similar. We at least have a starting point. Instructions like do unto others what you would have them do to you, and do not do to others what is hateful to you, and love your neighbor as yourself. These things at least make sense to us, even if they're difficult to do. What about loving God, though? At first, maybe it seems like it should be easier to love Hashem, because after all, he's perfect. He doesn't aggravate us like other people do. He's clearly worthy of our love. People don't always seem to be. But I think most of us do have a difficult time loving Hashem. In fact, he does aggravate us. But we have no good way to let him off the hook, because he's not a mere fragile human. It seems to me like a lot of people in our culture, the culture that we live in, like the idea of loving others. But a lot of people aren't so keen. In our larger culture, a lot of people aren't so keen on the idea of loving Hashem. Also, when we talk about loving Hashem, it's a more elusive idea. He isn't tangible. We can't see him. He keeps himself pretty well hidden in this world. And he's not like us, so it's harder to compare what he wants to what we want. And yet, it is a commandment right in the Torah. It says, we say every day in the Shema, and Yeshua quotes it, calling it the most important commandment, right along with loving our neighbor. So we say it in the Shema, and Yeshua quotes it. He calls it one of the most important commandments, right along with loving our neighbor. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Loving Hashem is clearly up there at the top of the list of commandments. Yeshua really emphasized loving others. He talks a lot more frequently about loving others. But love of God is also an important theme for him. It shows up in one of his criticisms of the Pharisees. We're all familiar with this one. He says, "But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb, and neglect justice and love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others." So this little criticism gets a lot of attention. Those silly Pharisees getting all wrapped up in religious minutiae, tithing things that the Torah doesn't even require them to tithe. But that is not his complaint. Yeshua's complaint is, you neglect justice and love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. He doesn't have a problem with them going beyond the letter of the law with tithing. The problem is their lack of love of God. So I chose this Mida to work on this month because of the month that we're in the middle of right now, the month of Elul. I'm sure some of you have heard this before, but just in case you haven't, I'll explain a little. The name Elul is an acronym for the phrase Ani ledodi vedodi li, which means I am my beloved and my beloved is mine. I have that up on your page with the first letters larger so you can see it spells Elul. The letter Aleph stands for Ani, the letter Lamed, Ledodi, the letter Vav for Vedodi, and another Lamed at the end is Li. We also know Elul as the month of repentance, leading up to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So it's serious time. Looking back at the previous year can sometimes maybe cause us to feel a little bit distant from Hashem because of what we've done or what he has done or what he has not done in the last year. When I think of repentance and the high holidays, my first association usually is fear of Hashem. It's a time of year more than any other that we recognize Hashem as king and judge, and that's a little bit scary, at least it is if we're doing it right. But how does this fit with Elul, with the month of love, the month that spells, I am my beloved and my beloved is mine? Which is it? What are we supposed to focus on, love or fear? We can talk a little bit about love and see if that helps us understand better how it fits together with the theme leading up to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Love of Hashem is defined as our soul longing to be close to its source. Our soul is from a godly source, and it longs to be reunited with something similar to it, with Hashem, the one who created it. Our soul was put into a body in the physical world in order to elevate physicality, to make it spiritual. And that's a difficult task because our bodies are very demanding. We have a lot of physical needs, a lot of physical concerns, and the soul is often distracted with these earthly needs. Its job is to take care of our body, but that can be a very distracting job. And other pleasures and concerns also take its attention away from what it wants at its core is to love Hashem. What it really longs for is connection to Hashem. It's the soul's challenge then to care for the body, and in the midst of that, to strive for connection with Hashem. So how do we cultivate that kind of love, since it so easily gets overshadowed by everything else? Rambam teaches us that we can only love something to the degree that we know it, to the degree that we're familiar with it. In order to love God, we must know Him. We must become familiar with Him. Rabbeinu Bachya, in the classic Musar work, Duties of the Heart, lists two ways that Hashem makes Himself available for us to get to know Him. One is He revealed Himself through the stories and laws and prophecies of the Scripture. So that's one avenue that we have to get to know Him, to become familiar with Him. The other is through His creation. Everything from learning history to science, all sorts of studies of creation help us get to know Hashem and see His wisdom and see His plan. Many people study these things and their hearts are not necessarily drawn to love of Hashem. They study them for knowledge, but we can study them with an eye to appreciate Hashem's provision, to appreciate His plan, His wisdom, and His power, and through those things, through getting to know Him, be drawn to love Him. So love, like I mentioned before, is seeking connection. We each find our own ways to connect. There's those ways, that those avenues He opened up for all of us, but we find our own unique path to love Hashem also. We can't expect it to just happen, though. We need to take action to cultivate it. It requires effort on our part. Some of us connect to Hashem better through our intellect. Some more easily through prayer, or through singing, or through meditation. It's useful to try different things, to try different ways that you find meaningful to connect to Hashem, that draw you closer to Him. Maybe you'll find a few. The very act of seeking, the very act of looking for ways to connect to Hashem is in itself effective in forging a connection with Hashem. When I read that idea in Duties of the Heart, it made me think of recently my husband and I have been trying to think of more things to do for date nights. We have these date nights. Our goal is to connect with each other, but we've been spending time together trying to think of date night ideas. That is in itself is a bonding experience. That in itself is forging a connection between us. So recognizing Hashem's provision for us is also a good way to cultivate our love for Him, to increase our love for Him, to recognize all the blessings that we have in our life. We have so many. from family to friends to material possessions that he provides for us. However, Rabbeinu Bachya, again in Duties of the Heart, teaches that abstaining from worldly pleasures, distancing ourselves from love of worldly things is necessary in order to cultivate love of Hashem. When our hearts are continually focused on the things that we love, we don't have room to love Him just for Him. So when I was thinking about this idea, I thought about a woman who marries a wealthy man. Now, he loves her, so he provides for her needs. He gets her gifts. He dotes on her. He provides all these extra comforts for her. And of course, she understands that these are expressions of his love for her. And she's grateful for them because they're showing his love for her. And seeing that love increases her love for him. But if she truly wants to love him, to cultivate her own love for him, she has to guard herself not to get so caught up in the material possessions that he provides that she loses sight of the man himself. She accepts his gifts and she enjoys them, but she doesn't spend all of her time preoccupied with them. She intentionally takes her attention off of those things sometimes and turns her heart towards him. She remembers that what she really wants is him, and to get to know him and to seek a connection with him. She wants a relationship with him more than what he provides. So although we appreciate Hashem's provision for us in this world, all of his blessings, Rabbeinu Bachya teaches us to abstain from them sometimes, intentionally, in order to let our hearts not be too focused on them and unable to love God. He tells us that this is why in his book, the order of his book, The Gate of Abstinence, comes right before the gate of love of Hashem. In Duties of the Heart, all of the other gates lead up to the last one. The goal, the purpose of it all, is love of Hashem. The purpose of our lives is love of Hashem. So Rabbeinu Bachya also points out that in the Torah, fear of Hashem is often mentioned before love of Hashem. Many teachers say that obedience out of love is greater than obedience out of fear, but one must first have proper reverence for Hashem in order to love Him. Rabbeinu Bachya says that the most powerful tool for cultivating yearning for Hashem is developing deep awe of Him. Not only awe of His power, but awe of His kindness and compassion as well. Fear of Hashem isn't just fear of punishment. That is not the kind of fear of Hashem that we're talking about. Fear of punishment and harsh judgment, that kind of fear doesn't lead to love. When we love Hashem, of course, we are grateful when He bestows blessing. But even if He afflicts us, even if we suffer, it doesn't diminish our love for Him, because our love for Him is based on something else. If He afflicts us and causes suffering, we suffer patiently, and it only increases our love and trust for Him, because we're confident that everything that He does is out of love. And so everything He does increases our love for Him. The more we get to know Hashem, and the more we develop this healthy kind of fear, this awe of His power and of His kindness and of His wisdom and His greatness, it leads us to love Him more. But love also leads to fear. So when we truly love God, it's like the husband who deeply loves his wife. He's very careful. If a husband really loves his wife, he's very careful with how he speaks and how he behaves. Not because he fears some negative consequence, not because he fears her being angry at him, but because he fears doing anything insensitive towards her. In the same way, when we love Hashem, we're careful not to do anything distasteful to Him or that dishonors Him. We obey Him, not out of fear of punishment, but simply because He deserves to be obeyed, and we love Him. and we care about what he deserves. When we turn away from learning about and obeying his ways, then our love for him also suffers. Yeshua says this in Matthew 24:12. He says, because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. Lawlessness leads to a decrease in love of Hashem. So when we're repenting in Elul, turning around and going back towards Hashem, it's because we're remembering our love for him. We're repairing our relationship with him. But do we do all of this because we need to win his love back? Because we need to cause him to love us again? Have we upset him and we need to win his favor again? I read an article on Chabad.org that talked about this a little bit, and a couple parts of it really stood out to me, so I wanted to just read some excerpts of that. This is part of the article. The Zohar explains that at the beginning of Elul, we are achor el achor, meaning back to back. But by the end of Elul, we are panim el panim, that is, face to face. But how can it be that we are back to back? Wouldn't that imply that God has his back turned to us as well? How can we say such a thing when this is the month in which, as Hasidic master, Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Liadi teaches us, the king is in the field? Is it not the month when God is more accessible than ever? When he is waiting for us to greet him? When he is there for us in the field of our everyday lives? The fact that we are described as back to back at the beginning of the month and face to face is an incredible lesson. Often when we feel angry, hurt, abandoned, or whatever the root of our pain may be, we turn our back. We do this with other people. We do this with Hashem. This is still part of the article. When our back is turned, we have no idea of the state of the other. And it is often easier to believe that we are not the only one with a turned back. It is easier to think that the other also is turned around, and the other isn't facing us at all. Because if that is the case, then even if we turn around, it won't help. So why bother? Why make the first move only to turn around and see the back of the other? In the month of Elul that teaches us the necessity, or it is the month of Elul, that teaches us the necessity of being willing to turn around. The king is in the field. Our creator is there. And no matter how we may feel, he has never had his back turned. All we need to do is turn ourselves around to realize that he is there waiting for us. The back-to-back that we experience at the beginning of the month is based on our misperceptions, our fears, our assumptions. Only when we turn around do we realize the truth, the inner essence, that we are face-to-face, which does not only mean that we can finally look at each other, but more so, that we can look in each other. For the root of the word for face, panim, is the same as pnimiyut, which means innerness. Those are the excerpts from the article. I thought that was really thought-provoking. Acknowledging our shortcomings is hard. Working on them is uncomfortable. I felt a lot of that at the beginning of Elul. Even without looking for it, stuff just kept coming up. So we might be afraid of how that will make us feel, afraid of what we might have to give up if we truly turn ourselves around. There's things we can't hold on to anymore. But turning around is the only way that we see Hashem. When we do tshuva, repentance, we turn away from sin and toward Hashem, we are able to see his love for us better. And it rekindles our love for him. And our desire for whatever we were holding on to before will wane. It's not fun for us to do an accounting of our shortcomings. But if we want to increase our love for Hashem, it's not a bad place to start. Like in the parable that Yeshua tells in Luke 7, starting in verse 42, he says, a certain money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not repay, he canceled the debt for both. Now which of them will love him more? So Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. When we see how little we can do compared to how much we owe Hashem, just because he's great and just because he deserves it, our love for him, or out of love for him, we will want to do as much as we possibly can, even more than is required of us. As we seek to love Hashem, as we seek to increase our love for Hashem this month, through repentance, through reflection, through prayer, whatever method you find that works well for you, as we seek to get to know him better, we must remember that our love is not complete, it is not genuine, if we lack love for each other. Yeshua says in John 13, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Like I mentioned at first, there is a lot more airtime in the Gospels devoted to loving others. It's a fundamental way to demonstrate love for Hashem. We show our love for Hashem by emulating him, by trying to be like him. What does Hashem do? He loves people who don't deserve it. But Yeshua says in Luke 6, love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and to the evil. We must be kind to others, not because they deserve it, but because we love Hashem and we imitate his ways. May our love for God and for each other always increase.